everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of A Day in the Life of a Coach. My name is Mercy Muglino, and I'm your host today, and we're talking with Anthony Hadid. Did I say that right, Anthony?
You sure did, Mercy, correct?
Okay, and he's CEO of Your Life Purpose Limited, and of course, he's a graduate of ICA. He graduated this year. And boy, when I tell you he has an eclectic background, I am not kidding. I'm just going to throw out a couple of words and let Anthony tell you the rest. Master's in physics, and now he's coaching. Love it, love it, love it. Welcome, 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 Anthony.
Thank you very much, Mercy.
So tell us how you came to coaching. What brought you to coaching?
Well, Mercy, it's a bit of a long story, so just hang in there. I'll just try and give you the summarized version of it. Here we go. My parents actually immigrated to the Caribbean in the 1940s. They were from a small Christian minority in, believe it or not, the country that's in the news today, Syria. So that's where they were born, Christian minority in a small village, left there to come, you know, to the Caribbean, to the Western world, to have a better life. And some of my cousins ended up in the United States, some ended up in the Caribbean. So I was born in Trinidad, of all places, and grew up here, did my high school education. They have it's the British system of education here. So I did something called the Cambridge A-level exam, but put up by Cambridge University. And I graduated in 1979, and that year, the results were late coming out from Cambridge University. So I had, my dream as a teenager was always to do medicine. I always had empathy for people, always, you know, wanting to, if my uncles were ill, wanted to go visit them, that sort of thing. So, but that year, the results from Cambridge were late, so I couldn't get in, even though I had eventually had the right grades and marks. So what I did, I had a relative who was in Canada at university. He said, why don't you come to Canada for a year? You know, you'll get your results, apply to England, and get your results. And I said, fine, that's great. Did that, went to Canada, applied to England, Scotland, got into University of Edinburgh to do medicine, and University of Manchester. But here's the dilemma. My father just died a year and a half prior to me graduating from high school. And so I traveled to Canada at age 17 by myself. And it was such an upheaval emotionally, you know, culturally, weather-wise, you know, going from warm Caribbean weather to really cold weather in Canada. So a lot of changes for me. And it was just, I was one thing, the worst year of my life. It was a shock. I couldn't believe how much of a change it was. So I was sort of faced with this dilemma. Do I go now from Canada to the UK by myself to pursue my life dream as a medical doctor, or do I try and get into medicine in Canada? So I decided to do the latter. And unfortunately, the Canadian universities, prior, about 4 or 5 years prior to me getting there, they had shut down the medical program to all foreigners. There's something happened in one of the universities, the medical lab was destroyed, and they decided not to allow foreigners anymore into the medical program. So here I was, with the right marks, right grades, couldn't get into medical school. Didn't want to travel to the UK by myself, so I thought, okay, what else can I do? I'm going to stay in Canada. So I was also good in physics and mathematics in high school, so I thought, okay, I'll pursue a career in physics, which I did. And I graduated from Queen's University, at the top of my class, a bachelor's degree in honors in physics. That's great.
Wow.
Went to University of Toronto, did a master's in 1 year, graduated a master's at 22, and then I started my PhD. So, but all of a sudden I realized after 2 years, wait a minute, if I finish my PhD, I have to go to the U.S. for another two to four years to do a post, like a fellowship. And I said, well, you know, and then I looked into the hiring, you know, the hiring process in Canada for professors, and it was a bad time to be graduating, you know, to want to get a job as a professor in university. So I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to stop at a master's and I'm going to try and get a job in the business world, maybe in a research facility.
Mm-hmm.
I tried in Canada. I tried in Trinidad. I could not get a job in my field. So lo and behold, one day I was in Canada and this associate of mine said, you know, my programmer is quitting. He owned a computer company. He said, would you like to try, you know, your hand at a job in C programming? I said, well, I took a half course in programming 10 years ago. But listen, I need the income. I need to make a living. I'll take the job, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Went in, studied my tail off for 2 weeks, and I in University of Toronto, buried myself in C programming books. Took the job, got a lot of on the job training from IBM, Microsoft. So I ended up excelling in my career in IT. Went from a programmer to systems engineer out in the field, manager systems engineering group, systems architect, and then GE purchased the company that I was working for in Canada. So I worked for GE for a period of time, and then finally went out on my own, started my own IT business in Toronto. Very successful for 15 years, catering to the, as a consulting firm catering to the legal vertical. hired a number of people, you know, had a great, you know, great run of success. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem, Mercy. I wasn't passionate about IT. Mm. You know, and this is sort of a story that I want to, you know, reach out to other people yeah. with, is that if you're not passionate about what you do, mm-hmm. it's really going to come back to haunt you later in life. You know, when you're younger, you're hungry to make an income. You know, yes, you can probably do it, which yeah. I did for 23, almost 25 yeah. years in IT. So I'm thankful to God that I was able to make a good living. But at, you know, my mid-40s, you know, you kind of go through that crisis time where you think, okay, what did I put on this earth to do? Why, am I really doing what I'm meant to do? And I looked at myself honestly one day and said, I'm not enjoying this. So Mercy, in 2009, I sold my company. It was called AMH Communications in Toronto. I sold it to my employees, if you can believe this, for less than 10% of what it was worth.
Yeah.
Less than 10%. And because I had to get out at all costs. I said, I'm not enjoying this. It's affecting my health. It's affecting, mm-hmm. you know, just my family life. I said, you know, I'm not happy. So I started selling my business. My employees purchased it. Thank God. you know, dealing with law firms, you don't want to skip a beat with contracts. But they were nice enough to purchase the company. And it's still running today. Clients are happy. So I decided, okay, I'm in my mid-40s. What do I do now? I can't retire. So just like everyone else, I went on the internet, started searching for different careers, and I was lost. I thought, this is a zoo out here. There's so many different types of careers, and how do I go back to school? So I was really lost. And so I went to visit a life coach in Toronto. Turned to be very, I think, very pivotal in my life, a gentleman named John Sherman. So we started a process of, you know, life coaching, mm-hmm. career coaching, and I actually went on the internet, and I found a psychometric assessment by a very large company in North America, actually Canadian-based. Did the assessment myself regarding, you know, vocational style personality mm-hmm. assessment. And some of the careers Mercy had recommended were things like youth counselor, guidance counselor, social worker, mm-hmm. Medical technologist. So right. So John and I sort of discussed it and went through sort of a process of rating my passion level for these different careers. And it turns out by combining some of these careers, we ended up coming with a career in life and career coaching. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in a way, it came sort of full circle because with life and career coaching, I'm able to help people now to proactively get on the right path early and so maybe hopefully avoid some of the pitfalls that I ended up with. And, you know, in a way, sort of, it's helping to proactively be healthier, mm-hmm. happier, better family life. So that's when I said, okay, great, I'm going to pursue this career. Then now came the task of searching for a training academy. You know, how do I become a life and career coach? Went on the internet, started searching. And then I sort of came across ICA's website, and I thought, wow, this is very impressive. Lots of nice information here. And I said, you know, let me contact them. They were very prompt in getting back to me, very polite, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And I just found it just seemed to be such a good fit. And enrolled in ICA, and, you know, within about a year or so, got my certification.
Wow.
Right. Became a certified professional coach, I guess you call the CPC.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, it didn't take me long, a couple months later, I actually logged enough hours, 100 hours of coaching, plus additional, you know, requirements like letters of recommendation and, you know, you have to coach a number of clients. Mm-hmm. Then I got from the International Coach Federation, my Associate Certified Coach Designation, ACC. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, great time to open my own business here in Trinidad. So I actually leaving Canada in 2011 to return back to Trinidad. Most of my family live here, so I thought, you know, I've had enough of the winter, let's go back to Trinidad. And so, yeah, I've been here about a year and a half, and I'm loving it. It's great weather. And opened my company called Your Life Purpose Limited. And I've been coaching a lot of the youth primarily, so, you know, in that sort of age group of maybe, I would say 15 to 25, but I've had people who come older, maybe they're going through a change of career later on in their lives, like I was going through, but mainly youth. And I see the transformation, Mercy. I see them when they come, they're lost, because nowadays there's so many careers. I think the U.S. Department of Labor said there's approximately 840 different types of careers today.
Wow.
And so it's not surprising that youth are lost. So so I do my coaching, you know, a lot of one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. And I also do coaching over Skype. So like we're doing a call right here. But
great,
absolutely, the beautiful thing about technology today is that your coaching practice doesn't have to be just local. It can be anywhere. I've coached people in France, in Greece, in New Zealand, United States. So I love the technology. Coaching is such a flexible field. So that's how I ended up in coaching. And in a way, you know, John told me, Anthony, you know, at 45, can you go back to medical school and become a medical doctor? You know, yes, I could. You know, by 55, I'd be a medical doctor. But, you know, I thought that's just too much of a long haul. So in a way, sort of transitioning into life and career coaching, I feel that I'm sort of fulfilling that earlier dream I had as a teenager, because I do have this empathy that I have for other people is being fulfilled in and through life and career coaching. And I also do some spiritual coaching as well. Mm-hmm. And so I find that it's a way to fulfill that early dream as a teenager. So that's sort of my foray into life and career coaching. That's how I ended up here. So.
Oh, it's so interesting, because so many of us come from backgrounds where, you know, we are changing careers. You know, coaching is something that either we hire a coach and we get intrigued, or we've always had this like purpose kind of basic, what I call, you know, if you want to figure out what your purpose is, you knew it a long time ago. And even if it's about caring for people or potentializing people, whether that be medically or in a coaching realm, it's still, you know, it's still in the direction of who you are. And what a beautiful transition.
Thank you very much.
And all that experience figuring out your own path can only make what you do that much more powerful for those who are trying to figure out theirs. So I think it's great. Great.
Thank you, Mercy. And I tell that to young people all the time. I say, don't make the mistake that I made. All I had to do is simply say to my mother at 18, listen, I'm afraid to go to the UK by myself. Yeah. Can you have an uncle take me over? Sometimes as teenagers, we don't really, you know, express our feelings and emotions. Yeah. And that's another thing that I also focus on a lot, Mercy, in my coaching. I also give my clients, you know, psychometric assessments. It's a big part of what I do. But I also focus on emotional IQ, emotional health, because I know but that's a very big part of your success in life. And if you don't express your emotions and what you really want to do at an early age, it can really come back to affect you. So, I think coaching has so many dimensions to it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in ICA, we take a look at different ways to apply what we learn, the core competencies of coaching. And a power tool is one that we are known for. Tell us a little bit about yours.
There you go, Mercy. Well, here you go. You can probably guess it. My power tool is passion versus resignation.
Oh, I love it.
So, there we go. Because, again, applying what happened to me as a young person, I sort of fell into what I call resignation. I simply said, well, you know, my passion is to do medicine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were certain mitigating factors that sort of not prevented me, but created obstacles, right? Challenges. And instead of pursuing my passion and finding ways to overcome those obstacles, I end up sort of resigning myself that, well, I have to give up my you know, childhood dream of becoming a doctor, and I'll do something else. And that sort of is why I came up with this power tool, passion versus resignation. So, you know, passion, if you sort of look up the Wikipedia definition of passion, it's really that inner strength, that energy, that drive to pursue something that, you know, you love, and resignation is almost, again, that giving up on something that's important to you. Right. So being resigned is something. So those are two attitudes that I think are very prevalent within all of us. We sometimes have passion, and sometimes we display resignation. Absolutely. So I use that power tool, and that a lot of my practice is, as soon as clients come to me, I simply ask them, you know, what's important to you in life? And I try to bring out, through the use of psychometrics and so on, I try to bring out to them what their passion is, and obviously help them to discover it. And once that's discovered, I try to help them to find ways, for them to discover ways to pursue that passion. And sometimes people come to me, Mercy, at 25. I had a guy who came to me, he's 30 years old, and wasn't happy doing what he was doing. And I said, you know, Alan, great for you taking a time out now. You're not passionate about what you're doing. You seem to be living a life of resignation. He was actually having sleep problems. And so I said, good for you. That's great. So you don't want to be resigned anymore about what you're doing. Let's try and discover your passion. Now he's off to university at McGill in Canada, pursuing his career in business reengineering. There we go.
Wow.
So that's my power tool. Yeah. So passion versus resignation.
Powerful. Love it. Okay.
There we go. Wonderful.
So I'm interested in your coaching model. I know if you visit your website, you definitely get a little bit more information, but give us a snippet. What is your coaching model? How do you work with your clients?
Okay. So my coaching model, essentially, there's an acronym. It's called DARE, D-A-R-E. So it stands for discern, affirm, reveal, and then embrace. So discern, essentially, you know, it's funny, Mercy, a lot of young people who come to me, I always say to them, listen, before we even talk about career, there are three silos or distinct silos that I think we fall into in terms of what I call vocation, or a call to something, you know, fundamental. And one is the single life. A lot of people think, well, I'm necessarily going to be married. And that's, yeah, most people end up being married. That's true. But some people are called for the single life.
Right.
And some people are called for the religious life. So I always say to young people, you know, which of these three silos do you think you fit into? So we kind of, that's the discerning part, because I think for, you know, talking about a career, when you haven't discerned what silo you really think you're called to by a higher being, God, you know, I think that's an important part of what I do. So that's the first part, discern. And then after that, you know, that's done, then we affirm. So affirm is simply by speaking to other people, you say, this is what I've discerned. Mm-hmm. They say, yeah, you know, I could see you as whatever, somebody, as a priest. So I could see you as a single person. I could see you as a married, you know. So that's, you get that confirmation. So that's the affirmation stage. Then the next stage is reveal. So now, let's say you're called to the married life. Let's try now to help you through the use of psychometrics to reveal what career within that silo will be suited to your personality, your intelligence type, your strengths, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reveal, and then embrace. So let's say now you reveal it's going to be a career in, you know, for example, say teaching. Now, maybe you're 25. Are you going to embrace that? Are you going to now take a pause, go back to university, embrace that, and, you know, finally live your passion?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the coaching model, and I always stress to my clients as part of that, that as human beings, we're made up of four different aspects. We are made up of mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so my coaching model tries to touch on all four aspects, because it's one thing to sort of have your career in order, which really touches a lot on your mental.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say have a good exercise, you know, program where your physical is being taken care of, but if you don't take care of your emotional and your spiritual, those, it's like having a wheel with, you know, like four quarters to it. And if, let's say you have three components in place, you have the mental, spiritual, and the physical, but the emotional is missing, you don't express your emotions, you kind of keep everything under a lid, then eventually in life, later on in life, that comes back to haunt you. And I know, for me, that was my personality as a young person growing up, always kind of kept everything very even keel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't certainly a Tiger Woods where, you know, I was just expressing my emotions wildly, and, you know, so more sort of that, they call that the Iceman, you know, very sort of, very on an even keel. And so both extremes are bad, not expressing emotions, expressing emotions too wildly. So I would say like a nice sine wave, you know. So that's an important thing that I stress to my clients. Having all four aspects, you know, really complete in your personality is going to really help. So that's the coaching model in a nutshell.
Wonderful. Great. Wow, I can't wait to ask you this question. So if you wanted to the world to know one thing about coaching, Anthony, what would it be?
Well, here it is, Mercy. You know, again, from simply from taking the course at ICA, the training program, you know, it's funny how many of the students, including myself, we discovered the training that, you know, when we took this training, that coaching was really something we always did, even though we weren't labeled as coaches.
Right.
So from a very young age, I think if you have that innate coaching talent within you, maybe as a young person, you're always trying to, you know, help people through their problems, whether it's, you know, a family problem or a work problem or it could be a spiritual problem or an emotional relationship problem, you know. If you were that person, people always kind of went to them for assistance and guidance, you know, or that listening ear, then maybe you have coaching as part of your, simply as your makeup. And so I always say, if you have it, use it. So I would, my advice to people would be, if you have that innate coaching ability, if you feel drawn to the coaching field, it probably is because you have it in you.
Yeah.
And why don't you go ahead and crystallize it? Why don't you go ahead and enroll in a program, especially something like ICA, where you can do it online, you can still have your career that you currently have, but do this training program. The hours are flexible with ICA, so you can do after hours or on weekends or whatever, and have your simply have your training ability credentialized, crystallized, and then if you feel that you want to just have this coaching practice on the side, wonderful. If you think you want to transition eventually into a full-time career in coaching. So that's one thing I'd leave with people. Our world needs more coaches to help people to become better, healthier, happier, and live more fulfilled lives. So if you have it, use it.
Use it. Oh, I love it. And just investigate it. You know, I thought about it for a long time before I actually said, hey, I think I want to do this. You know, be curious. That's a coaching competency. Just be curious about it. What about it is intriguing to you? And we do. We do need coaches. Like you said, 840 some odd careers. Everybody needs their own personal guidance counselor and, you know, or coach that really listens to you and figures out with you what is right for you.
Absolutely, Mercy.
You're a delight. Absolutely a delight to talk to.
Thank you, Mercy.
I love being a part of this day in the life of a coach. You get to learn so much more about what's going on in the coaching world. Quickly, your website again, Anthony?
It's www.yourlifepurpose.com. Just very simple, as the name of the company says. It's yourlifepurpose.com. Lots of information there, and also to Mercy, as part of some of the tools that I use in my, coaching practice, I use obviously psychometric assessments, and I also use, you know, obviously my coaching model, and also too, there's a, I've just done an info product, which is simply taking everything that I do in terms of my coaching practice, psychometrics and, you know, meeting with clients one-on-one, I package it up as a series of videos, audios, you know, a PDF of the PowerPoint slides, and offering that as a program where maybe in a group coaching session, we can do kind of go through discovering, you know, your ideal career path. And there'll be other info products coming down, and that's a great way to reach people internationally. So again, it's, you know, I think the website and lots of articles that I've written on the website as well, too. So I, again, thank you very much, Mercy, for allowing me to be part of this Day in the Life coach.
Yeah, and check out the website, folks. I mean, there's lots there. I already did, and it's just a wealth of information. Thank you again, Anthony, and all the best in your coaching practice.
Thanks very much, Mercy. Take care.
Bye-bye.